D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes. Barry Trotz, Predators GM, is here with us live inside Bridgestone Arena. The Predators open up another homestand tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just looking around at what expensive snacks that D-Mace left this week because he keeps leaving expensive
stuff. The good stuff.
Yeah. He's got the goodies. Yeah.
He brings high the end. Good stuff. And, Barry, we've been talking, of course, pretty much all show long on the Titans hiring Robert Saleh as their next head coach. You know a thing or two about interviewing to be a head coach, so perhaps you could shed some insight. I know the sports are different, but just how intense, detailed those head coaching interviews can be.
Yeah, you've been on both sides of it. You've been on the interviewer and the interviewee.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the feel and what you're looking for in terms of personality, what you're looking for in terms of the style of play. I know that in some interviews, if you don't have much of a resume, you've got to probably come at, if I was a GM, you'd have to come at me a little different than if you were someone who has been in the league a long time and you have a long track record and I know a lot about you. I've talked to some young coaches who are just trying to get out there. I try to tell them to be very, very detailed in terms of what their vision of how they want to play, why they want to play that way, based on the personnel. Know the personnel within the organizations very, very well, because you have to. I think the good coaches adjust their systematic play, style of play to the personnel that is available to them, and also a little bit trying to match the vision of the general manager as well. I think that's really important.
When you interviewed with David Poile, it was unique way back. he knew you for a long time, right? Because you were in the organization already that he had been with. But when you interviewed with him for the Predators, what was your approach? Because you, at that time, like you were saying, you had never been a head coach in the NHL.
Well, it was funny. I could tell you it's probably the most untraditional interview I've ever had and probably ever will have. Fortunately, I was living in Portland, Maine at the time. David was in Washington, and obviously with the hiring process coming in Nashville, it was a year ahead. So the job was to entail some pro scouting for the most part, Buck Showalter sort of deal way back when, and then coming to an expansion franchise in a non-traditional market. And unfortunately, we had a mutual death in our relationship with the owner of the Baltimore Skipjacks. Portland Pirates was Tom Ebright was the owner, and we were heading to the Hershey area where he was going to be buried. And so David said, well, let's meet there and then you can come back with me and I want to interview you. So basically, I drove up from Maine and he drove up from the Washington area. We got there and I jumped in with him in the car after the funeral, and Paul Gardner with me, came from Portland, and he jumped in with Elizabeth Boyle and some other people in another vehicle, and basically David interviewed me in the vehicle the whole time. It was probably the best thing for me because it was sitting there just sort of driving, relaxing, and having conversation about what David's vision was, what my vision would be, how I would adjust, all that. So I think there was for me personally, that was the best situation I could be in. Now, when I went to Washington, it was a little bit more structured, if you will, where I had to present how I would fix the Washington Capitals.
Yep. And you had done it for a long time here at this point. You were much more known quantity at that point.
Exactly. So my approach was obviously a little different. I think as I went to the Islanders, it was a little different. I just won a Stanley Cup and was walking away a little bit from that. And Lou Lamoriello got a hold of me and said, I'd like you to come to the Islanders. And, same thing. What do you think we have to do to fix this? And told him what I thought, and I think in both places we did a pretty good job of fixing most of everything that we set out to do.
Barry, an impressive week for the team last week. You play three of the Western Conference's top teams. You beat Edmonton in overtime. You hand Colorado its first regulation loss on home ice this season. A tough one in Vegas to end the trip, but overall, how would you evaluate your team's performance against three of the West's top teams last week?
I would have to say I would give them probably a good B, maybe a B+, because you go into Edmonton, we've never had much success with Edmonton, at least in the last couple of years. I thought our team played really well. You know, the difference maker has been the goaltending. Saros has been outstanding. You know, I look at the goals against and all that, but he's made key saves when the game is tilting. It's mm-hmm. tilting for the opposition. It's maybe on the brink of us losing the hockey game, and he's been able to make that key save. Like Grant Fuhr used to always say, it's not how many you save, but when you make the big save, and he's been doing that for us, I thought, in all those games. So getting a big win in Edmonton, I think that was really, really key. And then going into Colorado and doing it the way we did, you could see, I thought I loved our start. I loved our first period. The second period, it was starting to tilt for us. And, you know, realistically, I thought if Saros wasn't as good as he was, it could have been 5-2 for Colorado. But we come out of the second period, and it's 4-2 to us because he's made those big saves. We're come down. We take advantage of some of those, you know, their mistakes, and we're up, and then we're able to hang on and finish the job. So I did know that Vegas game was a real tough one. So looking at the week, I was saying, you know, if we ever get 2 out of 3, that'd be a very good week, and it was. And in the back-to-back, Colorado, Vegas, I knew that one was going to be very, very tough.
We've seen some trades in the NHL over the past couple of days. Some notable players, Rasmus Anderson, traded from Colorado to Vegas, excuse me. Kiefer Sherwood, former Predators player, traded from Vancouver to San Jose for basically 2 second-round picks. And I'll admit, Barry, when I saw that trade yesterday, my first thought was, I wonder if the Predators could get something like that for Michael Bunting. So I'm curious, how much do other trades influence your thinking regarding your players and the values you have assigned to them?
Yeah, no, I think it gives you more clarity. I think the biggest difference, obviously, with Woody's contract, Woody's a 1.5
yes.
Cap. So that, especially teams, that's a big value for teams, mm-hmm. No matter what. Cash is king, and cap is king. And he had a really good year. It sent two things. It gave you a little bit of clarity where the market stands, gives you a little bit of clarity where San Jose stands. Obviously, they're a team that looks like they're serious about making a run at getting in the playoffs. So that was some clarity. And obviously, giving up 2 first-round picks for Kiefer, it probably says that they're looking to sign him long-term.
Speaking of Michael Bunting, you do have some notable pending unrestricted free agents. Bunting, Eric Halla, Michael McCarron. I believe Cole Smith is in that group as well. Have you engaged in any contract talks with those players' representatives?
I have not. For the most part, we have touched base with all the representatives in terms of where we are. We'll see where we are. Doesn't mean that we won't. It just means that we're in a little bit of a holding pattern, and I think that's accurate for where we are. Like, we're not in the playoffs, and it's accurate for, you know, where we need to go. We're going to have to get a little bit younger and see some of our younger guys in the next couple of years here.
Speaking of young players, the decision was made this morning to send Reed Schaefer back down. You can probably clarify a lot what that means, because I think a lot of fans, they've seen him have some big moments, but
yeah.
At the same time, he could probably still do some good things down there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the process, you know, two things that happened. We got a couple guys back. We got Marchessault and we got Weisblatt healthy again. So they've missed some time. They've got to get back in. We've got to get them up to speed a little bit. Best time always at home game, because home games you have last change, you control the matchups a little bit. Reed Schaefer, just like any young player, has had his great moments, and he's had the moments where he's hasn't got as much ice time, those type of things. So when talking with Bruno, talking with management, getting these players up to speed, it made sense to send a young player who might be sitting out. I'd rather have, if Schaefer's going to be the healthy scratch, I'd rather him play in Milwaukee. We can call him up tomorrow if we need to. But if we're going to put Marchie back in, which he needs to get back in there, he can be an important piece for us, as well as Ozzie. So we got to get them up to speed. There's an opportunity with these three home games to do that. And we know it gives us flexibility, not only if we see someone on the waiver wire, if there's a possible trade that we can get involved with, that gives us that one roster spot that we could use. And then with Adam Willsby being out, we only have six defensemen, so that gives us the flexibility to go get someone to be our seventh defenseman. If something were to happen tonight, now Adam's not able to go on Thursday, then we're going to have to call someone up. So it gives us lots of the most flexibility to do a number of things. And Reed is on our fourth line, and identity line is really important. But I think Ozzie can do that role, or Marchie can jump in that role if we need to, and we can fill that space. Bruno can put Woody there, Yost. We have a lot of different options. So I don't think it's a big drop off. Even though I think you got a sense of Reed's ability. Big guy, can skate. I think he makes that line really, really heavy, which is an advantage, especially against teams that have a lot of big defense or play that heavy game. So, Reed's going to be an important piece for us for a long time.
Let's talk about Marcia. So, as you mentioned, that was the classic catch the moving train, right? Back end of back-to-back, really tough situation to jump in on. He had a couple of good shifts in there, I thought, in the second period, but what's your outlook for him now that you've seen it? Is he feeling better than he was? I know there's a couple times he started back up, but he never seemed quite right since that first injury. So what's your vision of what you hope to get from him?
Well, I think I felt bad for Marchie because, we're on a roll. We have a big win in Colorado. The plan was to have him, if he felt healthy, and he does, to go into that Vegas game. We didn't feel it was right to put him in those back-to-back. So he was going into that Vegas game. He was going into the Lions' den, if you will, especially after we won and it's back-to-back. And we've had good success lately, and he's jumped in there, and then all of a sudden you lose, and everybody wants to go, well, it's not at all. It's just we didn't have anything in the gas tank, and he's trying to catch a moving train. He's missed a whole month, and same with Ozzie. They both missed some time here, so we've got to get them back. We've been very fortunate that we haven't sustained any more injuries other than those two guys that were out. We were running with seven defensemen, or running basically with 13 forwards for the last little while here. So we've been fortunate we haven't been hit with the injury bug, and knock on wood, we can continue like that. But we're going to need all hands on deck. It's going to get hard. All these teams need the points. Buffalo's in there. They need these points just as much as we do. Ottawa's in the same spot we are for the most part. Utah is a team that we're trying to catch. So every game is very important, and we're going to need all hands on deck. And our depth is not where it needs to be yet. We're still continuing to work with that and develop our players. But it also gives us some opportunity if something does happen that we can get to, a LaRue or a Kemmel, a Mullendijk, for instance. Those are the players that we're going to have to see at some point here, and we're going to need it. It's just the depth of the league right now.
Stamkos, of course, has been really commended for how he's adapted his game, and he's had a great run of success now for 25 games or so. Is it the same challenge for Marshall? So you've mentioned a lot of times, he's played one way. He's played with teams that have been really good with certain types of guys. Is it on him a little bit to adjust and adapt similar to Stamkos?
I would say it's a little bit of both. I think every player has to adapt to their environment a little bit, or you won't have success. And I that goes with Stammer. That goes with any new player that comes into a new situation. The one thing that you know, when we got Marchie and Stammer, we tried to build that. We talked about that top nine. The one area that I feel that I failed is that Marchie needs, you know, he's one of the one guys that hasn't played a lot with O'Reilly. He needs a guy like O'Reilly. You look at it in his past, he's played with guys like Eichel and people like that, or sort of carry the puck. They make plays. They're sort of the middle speed and all that. And he's a dog on the bone around the net. And that's the best part of his game, is that he's a small area around the net, hard area playoff. That's why he was the playoff MVP, because he was going to those hard areas. He's producing. And we haven't been able to get him enough of those center ice touches so that he can get to those real tight areas to be productive. His first year, you look at his first year, he had a terrible start getting used to a new environment. So did Stammer, so did a number of other guys. And then he started to take off, and I think he ended up with, my memory doesn't serve me, I think it's like 56 points. You look around the league, there's not a lot of guys that get 56 points. And you'll have to check
in a quote-unquote bad year, right?
On a bad year. Yeah. And so you know he can produce. And he hasn't lost that. He's just, I think, and unfortunately, I just don't have the center depth to go that deep. And, you know, they got some chemistry with Forsberg and Stamkos. And unfortunately, I think, you know, in some ways, Marchie hasn't got started. He got injured, and he's gotten sort of the short straw right now. But you know what? He's competitive. The thing that makes him a really good player is the fact that, you know, he really wasn't drafted. He wasn't, you know, expected to even make it. And all of a sudden, he's had great success in a couple teams. He's been playoff MVP. He's won a Stanley Cup. So there's a lot of that. He still has terrific hands. He's still a hard guy in those tough areas, so we just got to get him in feeling it again, get him caught up, and then try to, you know, hopefully we get some chemistry with the right people. And I know he can produce. I keep talking about it. You get him with the right people, he's going to produce at a real high rate. That's why, you know, even when there's talks of me, moving Marchie, if he goes to a team that has a couple people that are the right fit for him, he's going to get 30 goals every year. And he's still got a lot of good hockey on him.
You were right, by the way. It was 56 points last season. So give yourself some credit there.
That's pretty good
recall.
For me.
Good recall.
Before we let you go, Barry, Roman Josi scheduled to play in his 1,000th game later this week. You were there for game number one.
Yep.
So you've seen basically the majority of Josi's career. Second star of the week this week in the NHL, played a huge role in the wins last week. I'm just curious what you've seen from him, because Willie and I have discussed this a lot. We're starting to see that Roman Josi, who was a perennial Norris Trophy contender, sort of peak out over the past few games.
Yeah, I it's amazing. It really is. 1,000 games. He'll be really the first Predator to start his first game as a Predator in his 1,000th. I mean, that's, you look at some of the great defensemen that have come through this organization, and he's going to be the first one. I'll tell you what, when you talk about Roman Josi, and you're right, right now I think he's playing as good as any defenseman in the National Hockey League, bar none. I mean, bar none. And he looks like he's 25 again. I think some of the things that affected his game, the pots last year and all that. I think he's free of that. I think he's enjoying playing. He looks invigorated. He looks young. He's skating like as good as he's ever skated, and he's producing at an extremely high level. And you just look at our record when Roman Josi was not early in the season, when he was not with us. It was really him and Nick Hague were the guys missing from our D-core. But Roman, when he's not in our lineup, our record is not very good.
3-7-2.
And when, yeah, thanks, Willie.
That's not good.
And when he's in our lineup, we are just a way better team. And I'm so proud of Roman as our captain. Not only as the player, his greatness is that we just take it for granted how great he is. But the person is even greater. You're not going to find a better person than Roman Josi. He's a really good captain for us. He's everything that a Nashville Predator draft should be, on and off the ice. So I am so happy for him and his family. It'll be a special night. I'll even get emotional because he's one of my favorites.
Barry Trotz, Predators GM, has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. The Predators are back in action tonight against the Sabres right here at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Barry, as always, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy always, the game tonight.
Always a pleasure, guys. D-Mace is not keeping the – you're keeping the snacks to yourself now, I see.
He said he's got some donuts for you over here. High-end donuts. Gourmet donuts.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to our interview with Barry here, and we'll get back into the Titans hiring of Robert Saleh. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.